For a replay of each day's Swain Event TV, like us on Facebook. Hour 3, powered by Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. 850 AM, 100.9 FM, Rocky Top Sports. And let's go to the phones. We're going to talk to Chris Lowe here. But first, let's get to the phones. Let's get to Bo. Bo, good morning.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning, Bo.
Hey, first thing I'd just like to say is, Charlie, I'm sure all of our Swain Event listeners and all of All Nation just heartfelt, and we're going to miss you, brother.
Thank you.
Go do great things. Do great things, man. Do great things.
I appreciate that. Thanks, Bo.
Speaking of great things, this men's basketball team, and I hate to make a comparison, but one thing Pat Summitt always preached with her basketball teams is they would not be outworked. I don't see anybody outworking this team. I don't see anybody outworking Coach Barnes. You might try, but you're not going to outwork them. And Jim Chaney coming back to Knoxville, two fist bumps. I am so happy that he's coming back. All we need is tea. All we need is tea.
That's it.
And I'm I mean, I'm ecstatic for Tennessee sports right now. And I can just see this summer, Papaw Phil sitting on the front porch drinking a good cold glass iced tea, looking around and saying, hey, we're back. We're back. Tennessee sports is back. And thank you guys for everything that you do. And once again, Charlie, we're going to miss you, brother.
Thank you, Bo. And well, I'll just leave it there. I appreciate it.
Good stuff from Bo. Really appreciate him.
Yeah, good call.
865-255-03 is the telephone number. We're gonna get Chris Lowe here with us. Give him a call, and we'll talk about this addition of Jim Chaney to the staff and kind of what happens next. Chris has visited so many campuses around the country, and when he went to USC, he spent some time with T. Martin. Want to get his take on what could happen here with Jerrion Pruitt and this staff. Is there a great possibility of adding T. Martin? We know that there's been communication, but we want to get some information on the likelihood of this happening, because we know how important it is for Chaney to have good recruiters around him. You have to stock the cupboard, and you got to have guys who can recruit and develop, and T. Martin is that guy. So we are joined right now by Chris Lowe. ESPN does a wonderful job. We all know about C. Lowe and his work and how great of a job that he does, and doing it the right way, always doing it the right way. C. Lowe, good morning.
Jason, what's going on, man? It's good to be back with you.
Well, Happy New Year, my friend. I hope you had a great Christmas and a great New Year so far.
Every day is a blessing, my friend, as you well know. But no, it's been great, and it's good to be back on with the great Jason Swain.
Oh, here we go. You doing that again this new year? we gonna do that? Chris?
Listen, all I know is you've been on a fine bomb since I've been on it. So there we go.
Well, that's just the last.
In fact, when I was with him, when I was on with him down in Miami before the Oklahoma Clemson Bama game, all the producers wanted to know how come you weren't there.
Man. Yeah, sure. I didn't get that message, man. The John and the crew, they didn't hit me up and let me know that, man. Maybe they're keeping those feelings to themselves.
In fact, when I showed up there, the set was right outside Hard Rock Stadium, and they said, "We're Swain." First thing they said, "We're Swain."
So wait, Chris, you were on Feinbaum during the national championship game. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no, before the Orange, the Capital One Orange Bowl, the semifinal.
Oh, so the semifinal game. So they brought you in because usually you bring all the big dogs and the most important people in during the most important games, Chris.
I don't know about that.
Oh, I do.
They probably what happened is you had some other business engagement, so I was sort of choice number two.
Huh? Check my Palm Pilot. Nope, I was pretty free, Chris. I was pretty free, man. I was pretty free. T. Martin's not going to be free, though, Chris. And Jim Chaney certainly was not free. Tennessee ponying up, opening the checkbook. I think Jim Chaney and I think we related. I got to check with Ancestry.com. I think we're cousins. $1.6 million Tennessee is going to pay Jim Chaney. Man, how did this get done?
And I think Tennessee's also paying his buyout, Georgia, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, which means he had a new contract.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think it's one of those things where Tennessee obviously decided, and not that they just had some type of epiphany, but they decided, listen, we're gonna. It's been well chronicled how long this search had taken, and how many people that Jeremy had talked to, and I think some of those, and talking to Jeremy, I think some of those guys, he never really had a real interest in hiring, but he wanted to talk to him and glean information. And coaches do that. Saban does that all the time. He brings guys in, never really intends on hiring them, but he'll get them on the whiteboard. Hey, you're always learning in that profession, as you well know. But it took a while, and there's some guys you wanted to hire that he didn't get for different reasons. But, you know, you think about where they landed, Jason, and they landed about as well as they could. I mean, when you think about it, if we'd have started back in, what did it help lead to go to Western Kentucky, like January, or excuse me, December?
It was Sunday, Monday after the Vanderbilt game.
Yeah, it was actually in November. Okay.
Yeah, that's when you put it out. It was that Sunday.
The very first of December. So if you'd have gone back to then, at that point, and said, all right, here are the four or five main boxes that Jeremy needs to check with his hire, what would those have been? Number one, to me, would have been an experienced play caller. Preferably, he would call plays and have success calling plays in the SEC, right?
Yeah.
Chaney checks that box. Number two, a guy that has developed and has a track record of developing quarterback. Well, he certainly checks that box. I mean, talk to Drew Brees, talk to Jonathan Crompton, Jake Fromm. I mean, there's a lot of guys, you know, that you could talk to. Number three, and I know this was maybe not as big a deal, but a guy who has a wide breadth of experience coaching in different leagues and the NFL. Chaney's got NFL experience as well. You know, he's coached at Pitt. He's coached at Arkansas, Tennessee, you know, right on down the line. So he's coached in different systems and different leagues. You know, and number four, a guy that wanted to be there. You know, and Jim loves the East Tennessee area. I know he just told me that ultimately, down the road, he wanted, not that he's ready to retire in a year or two, but he would love to retire to this area. He really liked his time at Tennessee, and I think that sort of segues into the other box. He knows this place. I mean, he knows the school. He knows the university. He's been here. He worked here for 4 years. So he checks really all the boxes, I think, that most people, including Jeremy Pruitt, you know, wanted. And he's, when I talked to Jeremy when Helen left, Chaney's one of the first names he mentioned to me. Now, I don't know that he knew if he could get him or not. And the funny thing is, when they were talking to Kevin Steele last year, Kevin Steele was one of the finalists. Chaney was the guy he wanted to hire as his offensive coordinator. And again, these are guys that have gone against Chaney in different capacities. And to me, that's the best gauge of whether a guy's good or not, is you talk to people who've had to, you know, from the defensive perspective, who've gone against him because of his ability to be balanced, to mix the run with the pass, believe deeply, and is committed to running the football and being creative in doing so. But I know that Kevin wanted to hire him as well. But a couple of the names that Jeremy mentioned right off the bat were Jim Chaney and Mike Bobo. Now, Bobo is the head coach at Colorado State. And I bet you, to some degree, there was some conversation there. I don't know at the end of the day that Bobo is going to leave a head job to come be a defensive coordinator, but Chaney and Bobo both sort of have the same type of philosophy when it comes to running an offense. So I think at the end of the day that Jeremy got who he wanted the kind of offensive coordinator he wanted with the kind of experience and the kind of track record of developing quarterbacks, even though it probably took longer than the media or fans wanted. But the important thing was getting the right guy. And I think you can't underestimate, Jason, that Tennessee pointed up a ton of money to get him, which should underscore Philip Fulmer and Tennessee and administration's investment in football, that they want to win and they're serious about winning. Because if you don't pay close to $5 million over 3 years to get Cheney, you don't get him.
Yeah, great move by Tennessee getting him. Cheney is going to work some wonders with the quarterbacks here at Tennessee, starting with JG. He's going to help him develop into a better quarterback and him take the next step. But for Cheney to really have that success he had offensively when he was here, he's going to have to get some players. Well, you got to get some guys who can go out there and recruit at a high level and be able to develop those players. This is where T. Martin comes into play, Chris. And here's another opportunity to bring T. Hall. I don't think the opportunity was great last time. I didn't think it was really a good situation last time when Butch Jones talked to T. Martin. I didn't think he was great for his career, for T. Martin's career at the time. Now I think it is great for Tennessee, and I think it's great for T. Martin. I think this is a win-win for T. Martin and for Tennessee. If you're T, you get a chance to learn with Jim Cheney, work with Jim Cheney, recruit at a high level, know that you're needed, know that you are valued at a high level, because you're going to be really instrumental to Cheney's success. Wide receiver U is down right now. Running backs, you know, we got to recruit those positions a whole lot better. So this is a great opportunity for T. Martin. There's a great need, and you look at Tennessee. They need better players. They need to be wide receiver U. Chris, I know you have a relationship with T. Martin. Where do you see kind of this playing out with Tennessee and T?
Yeah, well, I think I agree with you. I think that this needs to happen, and I know that there've been conversations. You know, Jeremy and T have talked, you know, multiple times. And I think there's a pretty good relationship there with T and Jim Cheney. I mean, I think there's a comfort, certainly from T's perspective, there's a comfort zone there. Now, to be fair, you know, how would Jeremy restructure his staff to make it happen? I mean, and on the other side of it, T's got other options. You know, it's not like, and I've had people ask me this question, well, you know, T's out of a job. Yeah, he's not the offensive coordinator at USC, but it's not like he's sitting out there just waiting for Tennessee to call because that's the only possible opportunity he's had. He's got a lot of options at different places. And as the dominoes start to fall here, we're starting to see some more dominoes fall, he may have some other options. I can promise you Alabama's going to have some movement on its staff. I can also promise you there'll be interest in T in a couple of those jobs on the offensive staff at Alabama. And I'm not saying he's been offered a job, but there will be interest. Certainly there's an opportunity at Maryland. I think at Louisville, he's got some options. But I know that Tennessee is where his heart is. And Tennessee is where, if it's right for him and right for his family, he would love to come back to Tennessee. Timing's everything. You're right. The last time your team knew, I think at that point he was ascending, there was going to be the offensive coordinator, had a great chance to be the offensive coordinator. Either was at USC. From a family perspective at that point, I think they wanted to be out on the West Coast. I don't think that is as big a draw now to be out in L.A. as it was then. But he would love to come back to Tennessee. And more than anything, not just because he wants to be at Tennessee, he wants to help get his alma mater back to where it was when he led him to a national championship 20 years ago. It's been 20 years ago this year that T quarterback evolves to the national championship. And as you know, that team, the bond on that team remains as tight now as it did 20 years ago. I think you bring T back, you get a lot of that. Those players, and not those players are all in, most of them are all in Tennessee anyway, but you get that vibe and you get that brotherhood back even more. And T can recruit his rear end off, as you well know. I mean, he would kill it on the recruiting trail, especially selling his alma mater. So there's a lot of reasons to bring T back. Now, I can't speak for Jeremy. I don't know what else, who else he's got out there, what he wants to do with his staff, who may be leaving, who may be coming. But I know there have been conversations. I know there's interest on both sides. And I think there's a pretty decent chance that we may see tomorrow's Nigel Martin back at his alma mater.
Ooh, Chris Lowe, let me ask you this. You've been to so many different campuses, talked to so many different head coaches, and covered a lot of college football programs. How do they handle hiring one of their own, like a former player that's now a coach? And when they are looking at that coach, do they say, okay, we're going to pay you market value, pay you based on what you're worth, pay you more because you have that tie, or say, hey, you should get less because you love your school? Like, how have you seen that kind of work out at other schools?
Well, I think it's the one in the middle. I don't think schools are in the business of handing out charity because a guy played there. Nor do I think they should expect a guy to take less because he played there. I think you pay them what they're worth. You pay them, you know, what the value that they bring to your school and your program. I think that's the bottom. Whoever it is,
yeah.
Can he recruit? Does he have experience calling plays? How valuable would he be in that offensive staff room? Is he a guy that can, you know, can he coach different positions? I mean, all those factors are big. Does he know the conference? Does he know the footprint in recruiting, which obviously being from Mobile and having coached, you know, Kentucky and recruited that area before. And I think T probably, having been out in L.A. now for a while, you know, could help. But, you know, Tennessee's not going to go out to the West Coast and get five or six players every year, but invariably there are going to be a few guys out there that he's going to have relationships with high school coaches that he may be able to help. So I think you pay a guy based on what kind of commodity he is, regardless of whether you went to school there or not. And I don't think you should fluctuate either way. And I think this team's a guy that they feel like, you know, they need on the staff. I think that's the way they'll deal with
it. Chris, it's great that Tennessee finally has an offensive coordinator again, but I'll say the funnest thing to talk about around the University of Tennessee right now is this basketball team. And I know you follow them and SEC basketball at large. What are your thoughts on Rick Barnes and the boys through two games in SEC play?
Well, being that I'm old, as Swain likes to remind me, I actually...
Like a fossil.
Yeah, I actually can, am one of the few, and I say one of the few, every time I walk in a press box now, I look around and I count how many people are older than me. It's fewer and fewer guys in the press box now. And I remember the days when I was with the younger one, and this is a long-winded way of saying, I actually remember the tail end of the Bernard King and Ernie Grunfeld days at Tennessee. And I know that makes, to you guys, that's probably like someone saying they saw Babe Ruth play in baseball. But I do remember those guys. And I remember those teams, and Mike Jackson and Johnny Dart, King and Grunfeld, and Reggie Johnson was a freshman on that 77 team. And I always thought that would be the most talented, best team I ever saw. And certainly you talk about a fun team to watch play. Boy, they were fun to watch play. This team, there's not a Bernard King on this team, but this team's deeper, has even more pieces for Rick to work with. And I think when you throw in the dimension of Rick Barnes and his experience and the way he gets through to his players and he's been to a Final Four, you know, he's coached in a lot of different leagues. When it gets to March, having a guy like Rick on the sideline, gosh, I don't know how many points that's worth, but it's worth a bunch of points. This has a chance to be as good a team as we've ever seen at Tennessee. And again, I want to preface that. There's Bernard King's the best player I've ever seen at Tennessee by far. Okay, and I always felt like Dale Ellis was number two. But this team, from top to bottom, and you know what else I like? The way guys get better. I mean, look at Kyle Alexander's improvement and the way he's developed. Jordan Bone at the point guard. Jordan Bone's playing as well as any point guard in the country right now. I mean, this is a team, as we saw the other night, that even if Grant Williams, you know, the reigning SEC Player of the Year, doesn't, you know, really scratch, they still can beat somebody on the road by 20-plus points. That, to me, puts in perspective how good this team is. Listen, they're going to have some games they don't play well. I mean, they're not going to sail through the SEC. It'll be a tough game on the road Saturday, I would imagine. But this is the team, you know, the team that Bruce put to the Final Eight was a really good team, and they sort of clicked at the right time. This team's a lot better than that one, and has, I think, more of an upside, because when you get into the tournament, you got to be able to win different ways. You got to be able to overcome a player or two getting in foul trouble, a player or two having a bad game. You got to be able to grind it out sometimes. Well, this team checks all those boxes. They can do all those things, and that's why I think most Tennessee fans I talk to are so excited about watching this team. And you know what else? I've gotten to know a couple of players on the team. I know Rick very well. You couldn't find a better representative of the university than all these guys, and the way Rick, you know, pushes these guys and challenges them, but holds them accountable. What a credit this team is, you know, to my alma mater, to the university, to watch them play. And it's a tough league. The SEC is as good in the last couple of years as it's been a long time. So once Tennessee gets to the tournament, they're going to be battle tested, you know, because they're going to play a lot of tough games. And I like the fact that Rick scheduled difficult in the preseason when you look at some of the teams they had to play. That should pay dividends down the road.
Chris, in Jim Chaney's first 2 years at Georgia, he was the offensive coordinator and the quarterback's coach. This past season, he was the offensive coordinator and the tight ends coach. Do you know why that move was made? Because it seems kind of funky considering Jim Chaney's background with quarterbacks. And did that move pay off for Georgia?
Well, I mean, I think it's like you see around the country. Coaches are always trying to throw head coaches are trying to throw other coaches a bone, you know, the coaches, and give them a title or move them around. And I think a lot of that, we mentioned, you know, Coley at Georgia, I think, sort of helped him. I don't know that Jim was, you know, just crazy about that move, but, you know, Jim's a pro, and he went with it. Did that have anything to do with him leaving Georgia? I think at the end of the day, Georgia was going to try to take care of him. It's not like Georgia wanted, Kirby wanted him out. But when Tennessee went so high, with the salary, I think what essentially happened, and maybe not in these exact terms, was that Jim went back and said, listen, Tennessee is going to pay me, you know, 1.5, 1.6, 1.7, it'll pay me. And I think Kirby just said, listen, that's probably a deal you need to take. So I think there's a lot of different factors. Did it work out for Georgia? You know, I don't know. I know Jim was a big part of what they've done offensively, the last few years. You look at some of their numbers. The funny thing about offensive coordinators, though, is there's always revisionist history both ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they leave fan bases, and this has happened at Tennessee too, which you guys well know. You know, it's like, well, when a guy's there, when he's not there, you know, there's different narratives, there are different storylines of how good they were or how good they weren't. I mean, I go back to the end of Cutcliffe's time at Tennessee, a lot of people were saying, he was predictable. You know how hard fans were on Randy Sanders. They were on Ben Clawson. Even Chaney a little bit when he was here. So they were on it at Arkansas. I'll go back and talk to some of the Arkansas fans about Chaney, and even the Georgia fans now. So rarely do you find fan bases who are always 100% on board with their offensive coordinators and even defensive coordinators. I mean, the Alabama fans right now are all over Locksley. Imagine that. The championship game the other night. So, bottom line is, I think you look at the whole body of work, and Jim's body of work speaks for itself where it's been. And I particularly like the fact that he's still got enough of old school football in him that he's going to commit to running the football and make teams play and make defenses be honest, because he will always have that threat of being able to run the ball.
Chris Lowe, ESPN. Chris, man, always appreciate the time. We are kind of up against it.
Hey, Swain, before I go, let me say this right quick.
Yes.
Let me ask your listeners, and I love being on with you guys and hear from people out in the community all the time who listen. And I want to ask them for some help with my good friend Tony White, who's battling the fight of his life with leukemia. There's a GoFundMe page that's been set up. You can go find it. It's on my Twitter account. The thing he needs most are prayers. But any other support or anything you can do to help him. I see him the other night. Just like he's done his whole life. I told Tony, you know, when Tony came to college, we came in the same year. And, you know, he wasn't a really highly recruited player. And as I told him the other night, I said, Tony, you kicked everything and everybody's rear end since the day you walked on campus here. You're going to kick this too. But prayers and thoughts and support, again, you can go and find that GoFundMe page. You can go to my Twitter account. But the Wiz could use all the prayers you have right now. He's a good man, and we've been lifelong friends. And I ask people to lift him up in prayer.
Chris, I just retweeted your tweet, the Tony White GoFundMe page right there, and we will definitely share this, and I will be definitely praying for Tony White and his family, and hopefully others will do the same. And Chris, you the man. You always do it the right way. I'm trying to be like you, so thanks so much for your time this morning, and really, really appreciate it, man. Happy New Year.
Same to you guys. We'll talk soon.
Thank you. Chris Lowe, ESPN here.